Well, good afternoon, everybody. I've just come from a caucus meeting where the Labor Party has discussed what it needs to do to get itself back on the front foot and up in the polls. I want to say at the outset that I am very proud to lead that team. They are a terrific team, and that when sometimes adversity comes, it pulls you together, and that is what has happened for our Labor caucus. We are very focused on this win. We are ready to run. We are moving to campaign mode, and we're out for the fight of our lives.
Okay, well, how are you going to get back then?
We're going to make a number of changes, which we've talked about. It wouldn't be proper to give all of the details through the media because we've got to inform our own candidates, but we'll be changing some of our internal systems, focusing on a narrower range of topics and messages, and making sure that all of our people at all levels are on the same topic at the same time.
What do you mean internal systems?
You've been doing something wrong, is it?
Look, I'm happy to say I think there are improvements that can and must be made in the way that we've been doing things, including the way I've been doing things. So I'm going to lead from the top. I take responsibility for things I could have done better. And we're moving forward.
Were you criticised for your holiday?
No, I wasn't. But I think I'm happy to say that with the information that I now have about movement in the polls, which I didn't have when I made that decision, I would have made a different decision.
So you wouldn't have gone on holiday?
Certainly not for as long. Although I was ill for 2 days, I didn't have much choice about that.
What are the internal changes that you're making?
For a start, as we move into campaign mode, I shift really from being a parliamentary leader to being a candidate on the road, and I'll be having the pleasure of the company of many of you up and down the country as we move into campaign mode. That'll mean that rather than being the leader in the office here, I'll be moving around with a team on the road, and we will have a rapid response team coordinating the office and the campaign headquarters in my absence. That'll be led by the deputy leader and the chief of staff, and they will support me in my role as leader as I move around the country.
Was that the biggest stumbling block?
The apology?
Sorry for being a man.
Oh, look, on that, I don't resile for a moment from the sentiment, which is that when you've got 1 in 3 women in New Zealand, the victim of domestic violence, that's an epidemic problem that we all need to think about. I want to be absolutely clear that at no time have I said or implied that all men are perpetrators. Absolutely never, and I don't think that, never did. I accept that the way that was quoted out of context and bounced was unhelpful, and I am determined that I will be extremely careful about the way I put things going forward. We have 8 weeks to go, and I'm going to be on message, on target, and on the front foot.
So you're admitting you got a couple of things wrong?
I am. I'm being straight up. Things I could have done better, things that I will do better. And I want to say really clearly that I am proud of my team because they have pulled together. They are 100% behind me and the people in New Zealand who need the Labor Party to do well, because the only way to change the government is by voting Labor with your party vote. That's how you change a government. That's how you get a new New Zealand. And we have a huge responsibility, not only to our people, but to the people of New Zealand, to get out there and campaign hard. And that's what we're going to do.
Why do you think you're going to be a better Prime Minister than John Key?
Oh, look, I lead a terrific team. And look, at the end of the day...
Why are you going to do that?
Because I lead a team which has the policies and the answers that will help New Zealanders in their jobs, in their homes, and in their families. And if that sounds formulaic, that's because those are core issues that we are fighting for. Sometimes tough times make you tougher, right? I'm coming off the back foot here, and I'm going to get back on the front foot, and I'm going to give you guys the campaign that you think New Zealanders deserve, that I think New Zealanders deserve, and that I can't wait to get out and do.
Did your caucus tell you needed to lift your game?
No, not particularly in the caucus. I've taken feedback privately from a range of people. By the time we got to caucus, we'd talked about a lot of stuff. Our chat was about how we pull together from here. I put on the table some things that I think I can be doing better, and I'm fronting that with you.
What's one thing that you put on the table?
Talk about a narrower range of issues.
Anything,
talk about them
else?
For longer.
Anything
back
else?
To the core themes. It's kind of stick to the knitting, Paddy.
Yeah.
Stick to the Labor knitting and make sure everybody hears the same stuff at the same time, so there are no doubt what we're on about.
What do you make of all the criticism? Because one of the things, you know, people have even criticised things like the red scarf that you've been wearing.
Well, I must say, this is my first time through this process. I am continuously surprised at how the smallest things can be blown up. But I'm learning to deal with that, which means being careful at a micro level of detail that you don't have to do in any other job.
So is the scarf gone? Is the red scarf gone?
You know what? I reserve the right to put it back on occasionally, but it won't be on every day, Paddy. I quite like the colour red.
Did you talk to your caucus about Sunday morning's story?
Sunday morning story, yes. Let me say that I am 100% convinced that that story was not put in the Sunday Star Times by an MP. That I trust my caucus. They are terrific MPs and they are honourable people, and we are working together to win this election.
Are you disappointing any of your MPs?
No, I am not. I'm not. I have spoken to several of them about staying on message and they understand the requirement. I'm not disciplining any MP for that because no MP was responsible.
Why did you meet in Queenstown with a prominent New Zealander who's been on sex charges?
Well, I am subject to the same rules around name suppression and judges' orders that you are. There is a suspicion that a person who asked to meet me and my candidate down there might be a person in that category. All I can say is, had I known that, and we did ask around if there was any reason not to meet, we wouldn't have had the meeting.
He's well known, though. I mean, we.
Well, it wasn't well known,
so
that.
Why didn't you?
Well, I should have asked you, Barry, shouldn't I? I will next time.
Well, no, it's a fair point, though, that many people.
We asked around, Barry, and we had no indication of any risk of that nature.
Have you talked to the person you suspect of making those comments to the Star Times?
I will keep that between myself and the person concerned.
So you have spoken to them?
I have a reasonable idea who may have done it.
Have you spoken to them?
I'm not commenting.
Is it someone who wants to be an MP for you?
I'm not commenting on the identity of the person.
John Key, a couple of weeks ago, said he would apologise to the alleged victim of the diplomat sex assault.
Yes, he did.
And yesterday said that he wouldn't apologise.
Yes.
What do you make of that U-turn?
Well, I think the Prime Minister needs to explain himself on that. You're absolutely right. He said that.
She rang me last night to advise me that she wasn't going to stand after this parliamentary term. I think she's had feedback from the party at a number of levels that she was unlikely to get a good list ranking as a result of the public disclosures last week.
So is that because she's been caught ripping off the taxpayer?
Well, I think she didn't intend deliberately to fall foul of the rules, and she certainly made it clear that she's going to pay it back. But I think the party at her electorate level was very disappointed by her
actions. How much money did she actually rip off?
I don't know the details to that.
Is that something you should know? Because people are saying it's a lot more than $200.
Well, I don't have any advice on that. What I do know is the assurance that she's given me that she intended to comply with the rules and that she'll be repaying those sums of money.
Isn't she getting off lightly here? Because other people who rip off their company would get the sack.
No, well, people make mistakes, and I think she would argue very strongly, and I accept her assurance that she's made a mistake, but actually she's also had a very strong message from the party that as a result of making a mistake, she's very unlikely to get a decent list ranking, and on the back of that, she's decided not to re-stand.
So are you aware of any other irregularities in the use of the
money? I'm not.
I mean, do you think the police need to get in and look if, you know, if she's been doing anything else?
Well, parliamentary services are responsible for the expenditure. It's there. My understanding is that they've looked at that, so no.
Are you aware of any other MPs who are in a position of perhaps having misused the parliamentary code as well?
I'm not, no. Sorry, one more time?
Parliamentary services haven't been forthcoming with
releasing the full details. Well, that's a matter for them. You have to take that up with them.
Prime Minister, you met the Australian Treasurer this morning.
Yeah.
Could you describe your talks with him and the issues you covered?
Well, they're very warm and friendly. Obviously, we got an update on what's happening in the Australian economy and generally where they're seeing investment out of China and the likes. We also had a good talk about streaming of imputation credits. It's obviously a big issue between New Zealand and Australia. And also I raised the issue of New Zealanders in Australia and where I thought there was, in the first instance, if they couldn't cover all of the New Zealanders in Australia, some clear places where there are anomalies in the system and I thought they should deal with them.
And will they deal? Did you get the feeling that they will deal with it?
I did actually get the impression that they might deal with a few of the, to put them in these terms, low-hanging fruit. There are a few areas, particularly around disabled children, where they are currently not getting the support that they deserve. I think that's an area where the Treasurer was surprised by that, and I think he's going to take that up with his officials.
Great Crisis expressed disappointment in your refusal to apologise directly to Tony.
Well, as I said earlier, the government has apologised. What is really important here, though, is that there's a proper inquiry. This is a matter that's going to be before the courts. I'm very constrained about what I can say. There's a full inquiry, and that's where it should rest. Thanks very much.